Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Ki Tisa. This week, Ki Tisa with Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells. Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi James Jacobson Mizells.
Thank you, Larry. Our parsha this week is Ki Tisa, and it begins, V'edaber Hashem el Moshe l'mor, God speaks to Moshe saying, Ki Tisa et Rosh B'nei Yisrael. When you lift up literally the heads, which means to take a census, to count the heads of B'nei Yisrael, Lifkudehem v'nanu ish kofer nafsho l'Hashem bifkodotam v'lo yehem negef bifkodotam. It says, according to their enrollment, according to the number of people, according to the counting really, and each person will pay to God a ransom for himself, for his soul, on being enrolled, so that no plague may come upon them for being enrolled. And then it continues, V'zeyinu kol ha'over ala pekudim, machatzita shekel v'shekel ha'kodesh. And this is what everyone who is entered in the records will pay. They'll pay a half a shekel v'shekel ha'kodesh, by the sanctuary weight. So we begin with this notion of taking a census, of raising the head in some way, and that's connected to the idea of shekel. And now, in typical Hasidic fashion, we'll forget about that entirely and turn to it right at the end. And what we're going to do today is look at a teaching from the Pizetzner Rebbe, Rebbe Kolonimus Kalmus of Shapira, on Ki Tisa, and on the nature of knowledge, and the nature of knowledge and forgetfulness, and on what it means in that sense to raise your head and to be counted. So I'm going to pick out a few pieces from this much larger drasha he gives in his work Derech HaMelech, which is a number of drashot of teachings collected in the 1920s and 30s before the outbreak of the Second World War in Poland and Warsaw, where the Pizetzner Rebbe lived. So he says the following. Amnam itav midrash Rabbi Tanchuma, so it appears in the Midrash Tanchuma, ala pasuk ra'echa ra'e avicha al tazov. On the Pasuk from Proverbs 27:10, that your friend and the friend of your father, don't leave them, don't desert them, don't leave them behind. And the Midrash says, what does this mean? Re'echa? Zeh Kodesh Baruch Hu. What's Re'echa? Who's your friend? Your dear one? Oh, that's, of course, the Holy One, blessed be He. That's God. Shekal Yisrael Achim V'Re'im, who called Israel brothers and friends, brothers and beloveds, even. V'rei Avicha, and who is the friend of your father? Is it Abraham? This is Abraham. That is, the father is Abraham. That is, the God is also the God who is the friend, the beloved of your father, your ancestor, your patriarch, Abraham. Shenemar Zer Abraham Ovai, because it says, the seed of Abraham, my beloved. Al Tazov, don't abandon them, don't leave them. V'im azavta ten datcha ad kan l'shino kodesh. And then it says, the Midrash continues, and what does it mean, don't leave? It means don't leave, but if you left, ten datcha, place your mind upon this, bring it to your consciousness, pay attention, ad kan l'shino kodesh, end quote for the Midrash. So the Midrash says, what does it mean that you should not abandon your beloved and the beloved of your father? It means that you shouldn't abandon the divine. You shouldn't abandon God, who is both your beloved and the beloved of your ancestor Abraham. And if you do, if for some reason you get lost and you abandon God, then what you need to do is somehow return. Somehow return. You want to place your mind back on the divine, which is waiting for you. So then the Pizetzner continues. Hamidrash eno mefaresh et ha'itza. Ma yaseh mishazav chas v'shalom et ha'kodesh baruch hu. However, amiti sheYisrael. So then he says, the Midrash does not, however, explicate its advice, which is, what should somebody do who has left, who has abandoned, God forbid, the Holy One, who is the true lover of Israel? So, okay, it says don't abandon him, but the Midrash doesn't actually tell you what to do. Rak shomer v'im azavta ten datcha. It just says, if you've left, then you have to somehow put your consciousness on this, or pay attention to this in some way. And what does that mean exactly? So then he continues, Pashutu, but actually it's very simple. Ki echav shar she'ish Yisrael yitrachech me'Hashem, k'she'Hashem yiparach kol kach karov elav, vohev oto, Ad shekaro etanu achim v'rein. Because it's actually simple, because in sort of a fundamental manner, how is it really possible that any Jew would distance herself from God, when in fact, we are so close to the divine, and the divine loves this person to such a great extent that the divine calls us, that God calls us brothers and friends, brothers and beloveds. V'lo'ava chadashahi, right? And it's not a new love, he says, really continuing on the theme of the Midrash. Rak od miyamim kadmonim, midorei derot, mi Avram Avinu nimshechati. Rather, it's from the earliest days, from generations ago, from Abraham, our father, our patriarch, our ancestor, it is continued from them. This love is a continuous expression, a continuous relationship from the days of our earliest ancestors until now. V'lama ze lo yargish ish. But why does a person not feel this, right? So if there's this sort of fact of this abiding love and of our belovedness, of the fact that we are beloved at every moment, and that this belovedness is part of a chain and a generational relationship, why doesn't the person feel it? V'lo tiv'er gam nasho ba'ava rabba, avat olam nashem. And why does why is he not inflamed with this love, with this great love, this eternal love to God? And here, in a beautiful play, right, he uses these opening words from the blessing before the Shema, both in the evening and in the morning. Avar Rabba in the morning, we say, and Avat Olam we say in the evening, which describes actually God's love for us, for Israel, a great love, overabiding love, it says, right, in the morning. Or Avat Olam, an eternal love, an unending love, as we say in the evening. So just as God has that love for us, how can it not be if we experience that love from God that we don't return that we don't have a fiery passion for the divine? But he says, Aval rak azivahi, and this is the thing, it's actually just, it's a leaving, it's a leave-taking. Kmo shemar pasuk, v'tishkach el mechol alecha. As the pasuk says in Devarim in Deuteronomy, you forgot the one who brought you forth. The one who brought you forth. You forgot the God who brought you forth. Lo b'michaven hu mitrachek, rak shochech v'ozev. And this is the essential point. It's not that he is purposely making himself distant. He's not distancing himself from the divine. Rather, he just forgets and therefore leaves. It's kind of like, ozev, he really means sort of he wanders away, right? It's just like we just get forgetful and we wander away. And then he continues, even someone that descended to such a degree that he actually went out and sinned, he did something harmful, he did something damaging. Gam hu reshit yiridato hatechila b'shichacha v'aziva. So even somebody who in the end does something, even if, on purpose they do something, right? In the end you plan a crime and commit a crime. Okay, so at some point there was actually planning, there was intention there. That's true. But actually, the beginning of that process, the beginning was always forgetfulness and wandering away. It was getting lost. Azivat kol ish, shemok shukarin. Sorry, Larry, for the pause. Just coming back. I'll go back to what I just read before. Azivat kol ish. It's the wandering away of every person, every human being. Im she taradotav shalom hayu machidot oto mitchila. Maybe it's because it's just that, the worries of the world, right? Just got him worrying, got him lost. Just as we all do, we had to think about our jobs and the groceries and the kids and, what we're going to make for dinner and just all these things that somehow we just get lost in the mundane day-to-day worries. And sometimes the much bigger worries, right? Somebody's sick. We're worried about a member of our family. We're worried about ourselves. Somebody's depressed, whatever's happening. And we're worried. And that worry, that concern with the happenings of the world makes us get lost. Oh, shebetavot shel heter hisdabech et rosho. Or he's getting lost in permissible desires. And this is, I think, very important, right? He's saying, it's not that, okay, maybe there are desires that are impermissible, that are damaging, a desire you want to hurt somebody or kill somebody or, adultery and other kinds of things, but they're really just totally fine desires. Nothing impermissible or wrong with the desire for food, the desire for sex, the desire for pleasure, the desire for all kinds of things. But it's very easy for us to get lost in those desires. And we just get histabech et rosho, right? He literally, his head gets like complicated, it gets caught up, it gets lost. Rainotav mitbalbelin, v'nasho mitpazeret lelo da'at v'lo machshava. His thoughts, his ideas get confused, right? There's this sort of just like, the mind just starts to get naturally confused. And his soul gets scattered. And so this beautiful comparison, there's the, as the mind gets confused, what happens is that we scatter, we lose our attentiveness, our focus, our actually ability to be present with what is. Lelo da'at v'lelo machshava, without consciousness and without thought, without awareness, without mindfulness. He's not actually able to be present to what is present in that moment. Uma'at ma'at ozev hu et Hashem. V'nitrachek mimenu. And slowly, slowly, he actually leaves God and gets distant from him. עד שאינו מרגיש את האהבה ואת התקשורת ויכול ליפול לידי חטא חס ושלום גם בזדון רחמן ליצלן. And our confusion leads us to such an extent that we all of a sudden don't feel that love anymore. Like we forget. In the confusion, in the scatterness, we forget that we are beloved. We forget that we are connected. And therefore we are able to fall into sin, into damaging actions. God forbid, and even, bezadon, even on purpose, may God have mercy. That is, yes, of course, you know, on a certain level, we often do things and we do them by mistake, we do them unintentionally, and we also all mess up and we do it on a certain level intentionally. You know, at that moment, we actually formed an intention to go yell at that person or to, you know, take that thing which we shouldn't really have taken, or to say something not nice to somebody, or to, you know, whatever it is we've done that has harmed ourselves or harmed others. But the root of that is that in our forgetting that we are beloved, like our painful, hurtful actions are actually in our forgetting that we are beloved. V'omer midrash, re'echa v're'a avicha. Re'echa v're'a avicha. It says, your beloved and the beloved of your father, your friend and the friend of your father. Shekoreichem v'et avichem, harishon achim v're'im, atazov. It says, the one who calls you and your first father, your first ancestor, Abraham, brothers and friends, beloveds, don't leave, don't abandon, don't wander away, don't get lost. Ki reishit hachet azivahi. Because the beginning of sin is getting lost. Vima zavta tendatcha. But then, it continues the midrash, right? But if you've wandered away, if you've gotten lost, tendatcha. Place your attention, give your consciousness to this matter. Imrak et datcha titen. If you just will pay attention, right? Just that. Shelo lishkoach, v'shelo liot mufuzar, mufurad, benefesh, v'dat. So that you will not forget, and that you will not be scattered and sort of lost in your soul and in your mind, in your consciousness. V'shelo liot shakua b'shtutim v'havelin, and so you will not be lost in foolishness, in ridiculousness, and in worthless things. Things that, you know, are not really worthwhile, right? And it's very interesting and relevant, this description. What he says is, we get lost, we mess up in some ways because we're lost. We shout at somebody because we've lost our feeling of safety and connection, which is our feeling of belovedness. We, you know, don't respond fully with great presence to our children, because we've gotten lost in thinking about some other problem or worry that's arising in our life instead of really being present, instead of being with what is really in front of us right now, with the manifestation of the divine in front of us right now. We get lost and scattered and lost in shtutim, in silliness. We get lost, you know, instead of really being with what's real, we go and watch a TV program. Or we get caught up in thinking about some, you know, thing that feels like it threatens our ego, what this person said about us or that, or what we think our coworker, or boss, or somebody else, or partner, you know, feels about us, and whatever stories we're telling about that at this moment. We get lost in this worry or anxiety, or feeling bad, or feeling victimized, or all the various things we get lost in. The things which he says here are not really important. Not the real things. But if we just place our attention on them, ten dat chaz, he says, if you give our attention, az I afshar, shenafshecha lo targish ba'avat re'echa v're'a avicha, then it's impossible that your soul will not feel the love for your beloved, your friend, and the friend, the beloved of your father. It's impossible if you just actually pay attention, if we actually bring our attention back. It's impossible that we would not feel the belovedness that we have, that we are beloved of the divine, and the love that we have for the divine, the love flowing both ways. It's impossible not to feel that if we're actually present, if we're actually paying attention. And then he says in a very sort of interesting continuation, not only that, but it's impossible that this love of your soul for the divine will not break through, burst through, shatter all the separations, all the walls, all the feeling of separation, of duality, of us being different and separate from the divine, from other people. All the enclothings, all the garments, this classic Kabbalistic term which refers to all the ways in which we feel separate from God, that we feel that there is clothing, there is some kind of barrier separating between us and the direct, most intimate contact with the divine, which close things up, right? Which sort of shut things, literally shut things down. It's like these separations, these barriers, they stop us from feeling what is true. But when we have this burning love, it just shatters those barriers. If you can think about a time, a moment in your life, when you really just felt love, when you really deeply felt beloved, either of those, you know, first moment you saw your child, maybe, right? The first time you fell in love. Right? Some precious moment. Just some even regular moment where it was just clear somebody cared about you. At that moment when that love is strongly felt, then what feels like the barriers between us and others seem to fall away. And the person will burn with the fire always for the divine. So this be constant fiery burning for the divine. So this ten dat cha, right, this placing of attention is a solution here to the wandering mind. To the wandering mind which makes us get lost. But then in a later part of the drasha, he gets a little bit more particular about what he means by this dat cha, this knowledge, this yidiah, this dat, versus other ways of knowing. I think this is very important for us to understand what he's telling us to do when he tells us to place our attention on something, to tendatcha, to literally give your awareness, to give your consciousness. So it continues slightly lower down in the drasha. L'chein et ha-machshava v'ha-kavana me'ez ha-davar yicholim navim gam kodem ha-asiyah. He says, the thought and the intention in something, whatever thing you might be doing, some action, some relationship, some ritual, some practice, you can understand before doing the thing, before you actually do the thing. Okay. Ma she'en ken yidi'at, v'riyat hadat, hi rak im hitoharut hamidot. But this is not the case with yidi'at, v'riyat hadat, with the knowing and seeing of the same word, dat, of consciousness, which happens only when our dispositions, our emotions, our qualities of self are aroused or awakened. That is, this placing of attention is not a kind of, it's not an abstract, and it's not a cold intellectual attention. It's not just bringing our thought to bear on something. That actually doesn't do it. That's not the kind of attention he's talking about. Rather, it's a different kind of attentiveness, a different kind of consciousness, which A, is like a kind of sin. And second, is connected with our feelings. Right? That we have to actually have a sort of felt emotional consciousness, awareness of what's true at this moment. We have to be connected to it, right? Emotionally connected. That we feel that sense of presence with something. It's not distant. It's not detached. Right, it's possible that he knows certain kavanot, certain intentions, even mystical secrets that one should use for Yom Kippur. And also before Yom Kippur, he learned various secrets and matters about Yom Kippur. Aval yidiya zo lo yada rak achar shekayem v'asa b'foal v'yitorer b'chol midotav kafi yom yom. But this kind of knowledge he's describing, this da'at, can only be known after you've actually experienced Yom Kippur. Experience whatever it is in actuality. And your emotions, your dispositions have become awakened. You've had actually a felt connection with this thing. Each day in its particular quality, the month of Elul like the month of Elul in preparation for the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah like Rosh Hashanah, etc. Each thing has its own quality. And you can't know that just intellectually. You have to know that internally, in your own experience. V'diyazo shehi yediyat hadat tluya b'mirotav u'behit orutan. And this kind of knowing, which is the knowing of da'at, right, which is what we talked about before, this ten da'atcha, this knowing of consciousness, of awareness, of mindfulness, actually depends on this emotional presence and arousal. And then he continues slightly lower down in the same teaching to describe a little bit more this da'at. And he says, "Va'da'at herata keterhi." Da'at is the illumination of keter, which is a Kabbalistic discussion of where da'at falls in the spheros and how it's sort of the continuation of keter, which is the highest sphera, which is not so important for our purposes right now. L'chen yichola litpashet. Therefore, it can spread forth. Gam b'mekamot harechokim. Because it has this sort of transcendent power, it can touch even those places which feel distant, which feel detached. Vigamba perud, and also the places which feel literally separate, right? It touches this sense of separation, of alienation. V'la'asot nihem achdut, and can make instead for them unification. U'migale yidiya achat, pshuta, and it makes from them one simple knowing, a kind of unified knowing, gam min atzimtzum, also from that which feels contracted. That is, this quality of da'at, which is this emotional, embodied, connected understanding, when we're actually present with it, what it does is, because it is not detached, it allows us to have an experience of connection, of unity, of non-detachment, right, of non-separation, of connection, and therefore, of course, going back to what we talked about in our first paragraph, of love. This type of awareness, of really just bringing our awareness to bear, is already creating a certain kind of experience of love. And then he says something very interesting, I think, and dramatic. V'di'ot ke'elu olot Yisrael mikol ma'asei mitzvotam. And actually, this kind of knowledge and awareness arises for an Israelite, for a Jew, from every performance of a mitzvah. Kafi asiyatam ha'mitzvot v'kafi hit'orutam. According to their doing of the mitzvah and according to their awakening at the time they're doing. So it's not automatic, right? We have to be awake and present to the doing of the mitzvah. But this is precisely, he says in another place in Derech HaMelech, precisely the power and importance of why mitzvot are concrete physical actions. If we're trying to work on our, you know, our qualities, our consciousness, our emotions, as the Hasidic masters think we are, why are we doing concrete actions? Because actually, the concreteness, the embodiedness of it, is crucial to this arousal, this connection. And then, jumping now down to the very end of the drash, he returns to our opening verses. He returns to the subject matter of Ki Tisa, to try to draw this all together. And he says, Ki Enyan Shel Shekalim, right, this shekel, this chetzi shekel, that each person is supposed to pay, as we learned as part of the counting, as you learned in our verses, Who is Zikifat HaRosh? He is the straightening, the raising up of the head, right? Which is a play on Kitisa, right? Which literally means to lift up. Kitisa Rosh, right? It's a play on this language of Kitisa, of lifting up. Kitisa et Rosh B'nai Yisrael, right? If you lift up the head. So it's this, the shekel is this issue of the raising the head. Why is it Zikifat HaRosh? Vadat. Why is that? Because what does the raising the head symbolize here? What's the head, the mind, the brain? It symbolizes this dat, this knowledge. Shel Moshe Rabbeinu b'Yisrael. So actually this counting of Moshe is sort of the presence of this kind of Moshe consciousness, this Moses consciousness within Israel. That is, what the Pesachim is trying to say here is that this notion of counting, of being counted, of giving your chetzi shekel, your half shekel, in order to be counted, is metaphorically the process of paying attention, of literally noting. It's like noting each person. Oh, we're counting each person, we're noting each person, and it's noting ourselves and where we are and the truth of our actual situation. Our tendencies, our natural tendencies, our human tendencies are to get lost, to wander away. Right? That's the aziva, the leaving. And we leave our beloved, we leave our sense of our own belovedness and get lost in all the, just the mundaneness, the silliness, the lostness, the concerns, the worries, the stress of our everyday lives. We all do it. It's okay. That's what we do. We get lost in the stress of everyday lives. And our instruction, according to the Midrash and according to the Torah, he says, what does it mean to say Kitisa HaRosh, that we should be lifting up the head? The instruction is to raise the head again, to raise consciousness, to straighten our consciousness, to bring our consciousness back to bear, which is a type of consciousness which is not just an intellectual apprehension, but which is mindfulness, which is awareness, which is our presence with this very moment, with this very thing. And when we do that, we have to do it with our fullness, with our bodies, with our emotions, with all of ourselves. And when we're able to do that, then there is an experience of unity. And so the possessor here reads Kitisa really as a kind of medicine. It's sort of the cure for our normal lives. Our normal lives of distraction, of getting lost, of confusion, of being somewhere else, of just most fundamentally not recognizing and feeling our own belovedness. Not knowing that we are cared about, not knowing that we are always held in God's love. And if we can just take the time to, in a very direct manner, in a manner which is like seeing, not like thinking, right? To come back and see what is actually true at this moment, to just pay our bare attention to the truth of this moment, then in fact, all of a sudden we are not lost. Then in fact, all of a sudden we are found again. And then we rediscover our basic belovedness, that we are always held in the divine love, in God's love.
Thank you, Rabbi Jacobson Mazels. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.